A devotion for the devotional series of the Lutheran Church of Our Savior entitled Artwork About His Work. Dear friends, the oldest book in my library is just short of 330 years old. It was printed in 1691, beautifully bound in 1692. As indicated at the bottom of the left-hand page of the picture you see here, the author's name was Christianus Scriverius. That's the Latinization of his German name, which you see at the top of the right-hand page, Christian Scrivers, pastor of St. James Church in Magdeburg, Germany. Below his name and title and the name of the church he served for 23 years is the name of the book, Seelen Schatz, which translated means the soul's treasure. And indeed, the book itself is a treasure. It speaks of the soul's treasure, our Lord Jesus Christ. Throughout the 1700s and 1800s, it was the primary Lutheran devotional book. It found its place in the studies of most Lutheran pastors and in many Lutheran homes throughout Germany and Scandinavia, and eventually in the studies in the homes of German-speaking pastors and laymen in the United States. Some scholars see the author and his book as paving the way for the pietistic movement of the 19th century, a movement which was an overreaction to what was called the dead orthodoxy of German Lutheranism, which, they said, placed too great an emphasis on correct doctrine while ignoring personal piety and improvement in the life of the individual Christian, something which had long been the primary emphasis of Reformed churches. That assessment of Scriver and his work is not, I believe, accurate or justifiable. Scriver was a solidly confessional Lutheran pastor who, like the Orthodox Lutheran pastors before him, was always concerned about being true to biblical doctrine and the Book of Concord, which faithfully summarized and applied Scripture. He did, though, see a need for devotional books which wouldn't be as academic and as much theological works as so many works of the scholars of his day. A book which would rightly apply biblical doctrine to the life experiences of the Christian, thus the soul's treasure. As the greatest treasure of our life, our Lord Jesus and the eternal life that he won for us came by his cross of suffering for us. So also the devotions of Christian Scriver came by way of suffering. In fact, he himself writes a bit in his preface, which I will now read to you. It is a devotion in itself, and will introduce us to other devotions which will, in the weeks to come, be based on his individual devotions from this old devotional book which has been a blessing to thousands on both sides of the Atlantic. In his 1671 preface to his book, Scriver begins by addressing our Lord, and he says, quote, "It is just a year since thy servant was at the point of death, Lord, and in the eyes of many was even already dead. My strength departed, my countenance become wan and emaciated, my tongue cleaved for weakness to the roof of my mouth, could scarcely tell the physicians how sorely parched my body was with fever. My nails were white, faint and scarcely audible was the beating of my heart. I had bid farewell to my dear friends, and with joyful longing, as thou knowest, I counted the hours, after the lapse of which I hope to be with thee, and to enjoy thine ineffable glory. There were believing souls, however, who with a thousand tears and sighs lay prostrate at thy feet, and implored of thee to spare my life, and so it seemed good to thy mercy to add to the number of my years. Thou didst strengthen and raise me up. I was made a miracle and a monument of thine almighty power and goodness. Thou hast shown to myself and others that our God is the God of salvation, and that with God the Lord belong the issues from death. What else then can I do but thank thee for thy faithfulness? My lips and my soul, which thou hast redeemed, shall rejoice in thee and sing thy praise, and to thee this life, mercifully granted a second time, shall be henceforth consecrated." Unquote. And then Scriver continues with a most touching and prayerful recollection of his wife, who died soon after his miraculous recovery, and he continues by writing, quote, It is true, my father, that a worse thing afterwards befell me. One cross was made to succeed another. Thou tookest away the delight of mine eyes. I could have said of my heart, had I thought such a name too much for a mortal creature, I had received from thee an image which I bore about in my bosom as the visible mark of thy favor, and I loved it for the graces and virtues which thou hadst impressed upon it. Alas, my God, well do I remember how that dear soul, when she saw my danger, cast herself upon her face before thee, and with so many deep sighs and burning tears offered her life as the ransom for mine, and how she forgot herself and had no eyes but for thee and me, for thee from whom she expected consolation and help, for me whose life her love to thee and myself made her prefer to her own. And thou wert pleased to make the exchange, leaving me among mortals to serve thee and the church militant, but enrolling her to thy eternal glory among the immortals of the church triumphant. Thou hast delivered her soul from anguish and death, her eyes from tears, her feet from falling, and now she walks before thee in the land of life. Dear was she to me, as thou knowest, above all things in or of this world, the sun and the joy of my house. What more should thy servant say? Lord, thou seest how my heart fills at this remembrance, and how it melts me into tears. And yet why should I weep for one from whose eyes all tears have been wiped away? Why mourn for her who shall mourn no more? Why sigh for a saint who has left behind her in this world a blessed and a holy memorial, and is now amid the choirs of angels singing the new song with thine elect and exulting in thy salvation? I have lost a jewel in time, but I know it is kept in heaven, and I hope to recover it there, and to lose it no more forever. It was amidst these and other crosses that the following meditation sprang up and made their appearance like flowers beneath a thorny hedge. If they possess any scent of life, Lord, any power of thy spirit, any of the honey of thy goodness, which believing souls like hungry bees assiduously seek, to thee, Father, and to the dear cross be all the thanks. At thy feet I now humbly lay this bunch of flowers of affliction, asking of thee only one boon, which is that thou wilt now and forever be my gracious God and Father, for whom have I in heaven but thee, and there is none upon the earth whom I desire beside thee. Thy servant forever, Christian Scriver. Sensing the heart of the man, I look forward to sharing and commenting on a number of Christian Scriver's devotions from Zeeland Schatz, The Soul's Treasures. They're as relevant as they were 330 years ago. I hope that you look forward to it too. God's blessings. Amen.